check yourselves. You can allow a stronghold to be created by believing that, and it comes against it. So don't ever say, Christians cannot have demonic oppression. I personally think maybe 95% of Christians have demonic oppression. They actually have demonic oppression. And they are walking around acting like nothing is wrong. They have all sorts of demons. Pride, anger. You see someone full of wrath, he's born again, always angry. We've discussed it many times. Get the messages. There's the natural version. Then there's the demonic version. The one that the person has done till a demon has entered. Some, they've had it since they were young. People have demons of lust. Instead of going for deliverance, they keep saying, I don't know, I'm still trying to control my flesh. Someone has known God for a long time, but doesn't seem to be in control in that area. It's so strong. Go and get delivered. Don't use word method. I'm going to do right. Mm-mm. Let hands be laid on you. In the name of you foul spirit, bah, you need eyes to see it. You've killed all the prophetic giftings in your church. Nobody will see for you. Discernment of spirit has to be analyzed by someone that has the instruments, the equipment, a prophetic gifting. I see two demons there. One is called lust. The other one is called anger. The person that saw it can face it and say, it's okay, thank you. Then the one with authority can now say, in the name of God, come. And then you say, check again, what do you see? Just like you do a hospital, the body of Christ, if everyone was humble and relating properly, there would be so much, oh my, oh, there would be such beauty. So many wonderful things would happen. So many wonderful things would happen. But the body of Christ is not, everybody, every church group wants to be, we are the only cock to crow. The other ones, now we serve God. The other ones, if we were relating freely, even in the one congregation, everyone is like, I'm the man of God. I am the man. I am the woman. I am. Don't be. Do it together. Everything is easier together. Everything is so easy together. So let's say I had more authority because I've been working with the Lord for a longer time. You know, and many times I would go like, oh yeah, let's pray for someone. And we pray. And, you know, and I'll say, yes, what do we see? And say this, say. Okay, we pray again. Sometimes, oh yeah, people join forces. We pray many times. We join forces. The other times, and we say, what's the progress so far? Oh, we've seen three things leave. There's this other one that is holding a piece of paper saying he has legal rights to be here. And then we start praying and we talk about what's the legal rights. We find out it's either family, ancestral, this, that. Get rid of it. Ask God to take it away. Some unforgiveness, lack of forgiveness of themselves and all those things. When you deal with it, then help comes. So this is how it was meant to operate. This is how we are meant to roll. Okay? We are not meant to act like we alone, but I'm saying we test these things. You can have baggage. Well, you've been born again for 20 years. Many people do. Many people, they've come to accept their baggage. They say, that's how I am. They live with it. It's official. Just like someone living with sickness and not thinking they can go for surgery. Do you know people have lived with a problem in their eye, their ear, some part of their body, and they never bother about it? Something on their skin, a mole. And then someone goes like, why don't you go? It's a simple surgery. They remove it. It's gone. Do you know? Have you come across anyone? I've come across people. They had something since they were young. Something. They didn't bother about it. They take it like the norm. It's how they are. And someone says, do you know that thing can be like, oh yes, that someone else used to have that problem for years. And the person went and did it. Or they say themselves. They may have lived with it for 35 years. And they go and attend to it when they are 36. Because they now discover that something can be done. Alright, so what I've just explained is the truth about what God also does in people's lives. He gets you to come to know that you don't have to live with that problem. It's like when you watch Todd White praying for people and their legs grow out. The person has lived with it. They always have back pain because their legs are not aligned. I'm sure if you've watched Todd White, you see it's a very common thing that happens. And he prays in a few seconds. 2-3 seconds, that's gone. Their legs are equal. And that back pain, they've lived with that back pain. They lived with it. It's their normal life. But they pray and it's no longer there. In the same way, demonic things exist in people's lives that can be removed. You have so gotten used to it that it's part of you. you almost don't notice it anymore. Oh, I normally have these headaches. It's always been there. So you accept it and live with it. I've always had these kinds of dreams. And so you accept it and live with it. Doesn't mean that's God's will. You can clean it out. Especially if it's demonic. But physically, so God can heal it. So these are some things that can happen with the grace of God at work in our life. Especially against demonic forces. And born again Christians have a lot of this. You have to know that those are equivalent to the Philistines and Amalekites and Moabites and Ammonites in the Bible. Things that pester and disturb your life. Some of them, because of the Canaanites, you did not drive out. The issues in your life that you have allowed there that you didn't give up. You conquered territory and allowed those ones to stay. You stopped fighting. Like the book of Joshua and Judges tells you. You allowed them to live with you. You shouldn't have. You should have kept conquering the territory, your life. You should have kicked all out. The Bible tells us it's how we do. Achieve the major success. We are satisfied with this area. Leave that one. That all the cockroaches and mice are inside those rooms. I don't really use those rooms. And they come out from there and tamper with your life. You should have cleaned up that side too and painted it too. And polished it and mopped it too. But you left that side. You're like, I'm okay here. I can, what do I need that extra space for? But that extra space is where the enemy is operating from against your life. Are you understanding? Good. I'm sure that helps someone. Now, but the real question was, if you see some things, does it have to do with your mind? It can. Your mind can. God can show you something in color picture and it comes out black and white. Because of the lens you're seeing through. Your mind can take things. Hear me. God can show you something ugly. Just picture, you may have seen in a film or a cartoon or something before, and you picture a tiny mouse, and you see the shadow of a mouse against the wall. It looks like this big thing. And you're like, what is coming? What is coming? And it comes around, the small mouse. But the shadow, you thought one big thing was coming. Your mind produced the rest. Or you might picture it wrong. Where is the ear is? You might be seeing, you can be seeing anything. The question is, what are the things that color? I've taught you all this before, that if you are given to prophetic vision, you have to be careful what your eyes see. It's not a joke. Especially you have to be careful of what your eyes see. You are given to saying things to your mouth. The vessel you use the most for God, you have to take special care of it. It's like the cup you use to drink water now. You want to be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use, according to 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, down. You have to purge yourself from these things. I think verse 19 says, if any man purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You have to purge yourself of these things. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The word sanctified means set apart, holy. So you want to be a vessel unto honor, you have to be purged from things. There are things you shouldn't expose yourself to. What does verse 17, 18 say? You have to keep yourself cleansed. There are words you have to stay free of. There's errors you have to stay free of. 19 and 20 said that you should depart from iniquity. And then 20 said that they are not just vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Listen, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I can assure you that he's saying you should purge yourself from vessels of dishonor. Who can give me an example of a vessel of dishonor in the Bible? I'll just answer it. Pharaoh. Do you remember Pharaoh? You have to purge yourself of Egypt, the king of Egypt, the things of this world, loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, pride of life. Purge yourself, and then verse 21 will happen. It's not the gold and the silver. Who owns the gold and the silver? Haggai. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Okay? But the wood and the earth, they grew from the earth. Trees, wood grows from the earth, is earthy. Earth is of man, carnal. Some of these are for honor, the silver and the gold. Some are for dishonor, the wood and the clay. If you purge yourself of these, then you will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, fit for the master use. So the master will be able to use you to drink. You'll be a vessel of gold and silver. Simple. You'll be high quality. You won't be this low, common thing like sand is. Purified, that's another translation, HCSB. So if anyone purifies himself from these things, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master. Prepared for what? Every good work. It doesn't mean you won't see words of doom. Even the best, cleanest, most amazing prophets, including the Lord Jesus, saw doom, doom, doom. If you read Matthew 24, you see a lot of doom. Scary things. Okay? That's not the point. The real question I'm trying to answer is, can your mind tamper with the visions? Is it possible that in that dream, that thing was supposed to go like, and when you see it, you saw, long thing. Can your mind magnify things and color it? Yes, it just picks one of the horror films you watched and changes it. Imposes it on what God was showing you. God can be showing you something and one of your fears shows up and morphs into it a little extra because you're not purged of these things. You still interact with them. And you can't say most dreams are from God, more or less, but some of them, you're picking environment, you're picking the atmosphere, you're picking things there. And what you're picking can rub off. If you can pick your atmosphere, you can pick your mind now. Do you understand? If you can go to a place and your dreams are affected by where you are, how many of you have experienced that? You were somewhere and your dream is affected by where you are. So if you can pick your external environment, how much more your internal mental environment? Do you think you can pick that too? If you can pick externals, then definitely you can pick internals. What does the Bible say in James 1? Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I'm going to sing it two more times. Ring. For lay aside, sing. Filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay, so you see that? After you're born again, it tells you that there's still what? Filthiness and overflow. Why is there an overflow of wickedness? It's carryover from the former life you live. James 1:21 in HCSB. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. What will it save you from? From this moral filth and evil excess. Remember your soul like foam. There's this stuff, your soul, not in your spirit that got born anew, but your soul, you picked it up growing up from the things you've watched, heard, seen. To wash it, you have to wash it with the implanted word, not word on the surface. The implanted word, you stick in the word of God inside you. They pump like water. And that dirty foam, like a piece of foam that was dipped in the gutter that has picked sand, broomsticks, needles, oil, grease, all sorts of things. After you get born again, your soul is still like that. Some people have a very powerful encounter. It's like Jesus hits them with a powerful blast of water. And it pushes out some. That's why you had someone that was smoking, hitting the smell of cigarette. It was a very strong blast. Some people have very strong encounters when their spirit is changed. And it gets rid of some things instantly. Those are the kinds of people that you hear sometimes, and they tell people, when I got born again, immediately I lost all desire. Therefore, anybody that is not like that, they are not really born again. How many of you have heard any testimony like that? You see why knowledge is important? It will save you from so many problems. So some people look at you and say, that means me, I'm not born again. Because your own is not like that. You're still struggling with plenty of things. Because everybody's experience is not the same. Some people, they need to soak. That's why God will organize circumstances that assist you. That's why you must understand your circumstances. Some, he just organizes you and drops you in a pail of water with detergent and bleach for 2 years. He's squeezing, changing the water, squeezing. Your situations will be changing. Now, there will still be things, grains of sand, plenty, earthiness. They will keep removing it for as long as you live. But in the meantime, the more you soak yourself in the word, not just by hearing, if you open the next verse, but by doing. But next two verses, you have to not hear only, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man looking at his own face in the mirror and going and not changing. Listen to me. You have to do it. Some people say, I'm hearing the word now. I don't miss church. Are you doing it? Every time you're disobedient to what you were taught, every time you're disobedient to what you've been told that is the truth, you are not doing. Every time you have to do, hear and do. That is the washing. The washing is the hearing and the doing. Okay? That's how it works. So I hope that helps explain the moral filth and excess evil. The one that spilled out of your spirit into your soul needs to be washed away. It will color and affect your vision. What do you do if it's as if your vision had been veiled because you didn't like the word you always got? What? How? What does the Bible say? Faithful servant. If you're unfaithful, they'll take you and give someone else. We've studied that many times ahead, right? So let me say this so I don't misguide you. You may lose something for a while because you're not faithful. You may be given back. You've heard people give testimony, say how God said, I'm going to deal with you. You're not faithful. I'm going to deal with you. And they stopped seeing visions for months. It disappeared. Some, it doesn't always mean that you did something wrong. Some, God is training you not to, so you can develop other parts, spiritual senses. But other times, sometimes it's discipline. God takes it away and gives someone else. You actually lose it. Because you're very unfaithful. You don't even try. And then this whole thing about not liking what God gave you, I don't even know what that means. That God gave you something doesn't mean you have to be the one to deliver it. Sometimes you're just meant to record it. Or sometimes you can deliver the word secretly, stealthily. Can deliver it without even knowing it's you or something. You can find a way. You can write it. For all I care, you can go and use the post office and mail it. So we can deliver words. And it will be received. It may not be received. Sometimes when we get to reach it, ask God. Sometimes he wants us to just put it down. Other times he wants to ask us, hey, do you see what happened, what I told you? I know it's not easy. I mean, we've experienced it. There are words we've received and we have not delivered because it's like, you don't know how to. Some we've tried. It doesn't seem to work. Other ones, they're just like, if God just gave us this word, some of them are so scary. Like, impossible. How? We are in God's hands. Sister, ask.
Sir, you said something about the spirit of divination. And, you know, some people, before they got born again, they used to see visions. And after they got born again, they continued seeing visions. So, how do you know what if they had a spirit of divination before? How do you know that it's not still the spirit of divination? Yeah, and the second one, you mentioned something about active imagination. Like, some people don't have visions, according to what you said. That it's just active imagination. So, I want you to explain.
I'll answer the last one first. God gave people imaginations. You're meant to use your imagination for good things. But typically, Christians have not been taught to use their imagination. When they use it for a good thing, or anybody, I don't just mean Christians. It's called daydreaming. Have you heard the expression to daydream? I was just daydreaming. Me in a big house, a swimming pool. Anybody here, you've daydreamed before? Hallelujah. In all sorts of places in your mind, traveling where you cannot go physically, etc. No. Some of you have gone to Dubai, UK, US. You've been places. Some you even got an accent before you came back. He came back saying, "Wana wara." Very, very deep travels. In the mind. Okay. So, what does that mean? That means you were given an imagination. You should use it for good things. Because God speaks through your imagination too. It's part of you. You're supposed to imagine good things. How do we know? Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall fill your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. And whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. That's King James. Commendable. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, moral excellence, if there's any praise, think on these things. Dwell on these things. Look at the things we're told to imagine. Honorable, true. That's why you heard me yesterday ranting again about when Christians spread lies, especially because of politics, be telling lies. They're lying. You shouldn't even think of lies, not to talk about repeating them and spreading them. It says it has to be true. If it's not true, it doesn't qualify for you to think about it. So when you raise it as a discussion and talk about it, it's not true. You're disobeying God. Honorable. It should be an honorable thing. You shouldn't take delight in talking about these honorable things that people have done. You enjoy. Say, some people enjoy saying these honorable things. You should not. It should be just a fair thing. How can you take delight in a bad thing happening? It should be just. You know, there's a group I am on. Christians put it together where they spread good things that are happening in the country. Just things, nice things. And constantly I've seen Christians come on board and complain that that group, they're only talking about the good things that happen in Nigeria. That they should talk about the bad things. The people say this group was formed. God told us that when this government comes into power, that there's going to be socioeconomic progress. And this group was formed to track it and pray about it. Are you hearing why the group was formed? And people appear and insist, no, talk about the bad things. The thing that happened with CJ. Talk about the one that's happened with, talk about the bad things. So there will be balance. Define balance. The group was formed to discuss the progress. It wasn't formed to discuss Nigeria and all its issues. I have been there person after person. You hear people curse. You hear people angry. Pastors, very angry. As if they can't understand. There's no way they know this verse. Me, I memorized this verse many years ago. Nearly 20 years ago. So I try to keep these kinds of things in my mind. I take no pride in knowing all the bad things. Why do you want to know bad things? Why does your mind want to retain things that are not lovely? Look at it there. Whatever is pure. Why do you want to think of impure things to come and repeat? I don't remember statistics well about bad things. I remember good things more. You should remember pure things. Why do you want to remember all sorts of bad things? My mind does not preserve bad things much. You may have heard me saying that. I'll be struggling to remember bad things. Because I practice remembering good things. I used to be around Christians and I don't want to be around them. I want to leave quickly. You're saying all sorts of things. How are you going to start explaining to them that, hey, the Bible says you shouldn't be talking about these things much. You sit there and talk about people and say bad, what this one did, that one did, that one did. Why? You shouldn't have pleasure in that. Don't have pleasure in that. Don't have roast preacher. Say roast preacher. Do you know what roast preacher is? Let me tell you roast preacher. Roast preacher is that thing that most times after church when you were young, your parents did. They served in the cars you were driving home. They didn't serve you some oral meals. That's where you talk about the preacher. You roast him on the fire of your mouth. Except your father was the pastor. When they are complaining and criticizing what the pastor did, plenty, plenty. Some of you have heard rumors about these kind of things, amen? You've heard rumors. It's not like you were ever involved. Yes, hallelujah. Roast preacher. Observe roast preacher. You know, just at the dinner table. Always talking about the pastor, what he did, what he didn't do, how could he, is that pure? Is it lovely? Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if it has moral excellence in it and there is any praise in it, it's praiseworthy. Think on these things. That's what you should dwell on. Do you understand? You've heard me say it many times, how you shouldn't dwell on nonsense talk long. You just pass over it. But what should you dwell on? When we are talking about the age to come, can you see why I like dwelling on it? Because it's all of this. Do you realize that the kingdom, resurrection of the dead, has all of this in it? This is why I dwell here. I can talk about it for hours. It's why I can talk about the Bible for hours. It's not since I became a full-time preacher. For nearly 20 years, people have complained about me that all I want to do is talk about Bible, that they get tired. That's when I learned that Christians don't like God for 20 years from university. I realized that Christians don't like, that's why I didn't have friends now. They don't like God. They don't like talking about God. They can't wait to switch the subject. Me, I was fascinated by Bible, God. That's all I want to talk about. That's why I can see someone that likes God small. Hey, you're lost. You'll be trying to shake me off. Because I'm like, I've seen someone that likes God small. You don't understand. I'm suffering from friend austerity. Human deficiency. Kingdom. Human deficiency syndrome. They want to say, you hear everything Ronaldo do, Messi. Something I do not know anything about. We were walking on the street today, coming back from dropping the children. I went to check something in a shop with Amarty, and we passed someone and said, I hear say Udom, they office. They cry. Enter an office, go sit down. Cry! Udom don't go now. And see my care, don't carry him. Udom cry. Yeah, Udom cry. You think he was there, that is not Udom. Now, the kind of things people want to gist about are those kinds of things. They want to talk about politics. They want to talk about everything except the one that is 100% God. Want to talk about hair, clothes. If you're talking about honorable clothes, I don't know how a cloth can be true, sha, or just. It can be pure or lovely. Agree? I don't know. Well, yeah. It can be commendable. Yes. It may have moral excellence in how they cut it. And it might be praiseworthy. I don't know how it can be true. It's not that everything you talk about must have all. It can have one. Do you get? But these are your categories of discussions and thinking. Are you saying? Memorize this one. Carry it around. It is your sieve for all discussions, all involvement. The things you read, the things you watch on, the thing you dwell on, the thing you're watching, the thing you're seeing as you're watching that thing. You're looking at something, it has nothing moral in it. It has nothing that has anything good. It's all bad. That's why you watch something that just tell yourself, no, don't ever watch this thing. There's nothing good in this. Don't dwell on these things. Okay. Back to your question. I remember the first one. The second one. Have I answered it well? The second one is the one I want to start with. Imagination. Yes, I've answered it. The girl said I've not answered it. I will answer the first one. I remember it. I said the second one I've answered to your satisfaction. I'm here to serve. Okay, so that's exactly what you tell a waiter. You know all ministers are waiters. I hope you know the Bible says so. The word is waiter. The word minister in the Bible is a waiter. The diaconos is one who waits on tables. What will you have, man? I don't change this water, please. Yes. How many of you want to be preachers? Men of God. Women of God. Get ready to be boy, boy. They'll be tossing you up and down. They are right. Your imagination was given by God. Many times, prophetic giftings merge with your imagination. That's why you're to have this kind of mind we just described. It allows, so God shows you many pictures as imaginations. That's why nearly every single person that has prophetic sight thought it was their imagination. It comes like that. And then it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. Till a time comes, you're like, there's no way I could have imagined that. You know, one of the easiest ways I test the words here, I'm like, I'm not saying you're stupid, but your intelligence is not that high. Who has heard some of the visions people see here? It's impossible for them to come up with such a storyline. It's too perfect. There's no way they could come up with those symbols. They don't even understand it 90%+ of the time. And it's perfect. I watch most of the time. I'll say, you know what it means? And they're like, nope. I have no idea. Pictures. Like, if a human being could sit down and cough up such pictures so quickly, you should just respect him for being able to produce such pictures. So that's a major way I test it. The devil, I've heard the devil's pictures. They are very bad. His own pictures it's like a human brain came up with it. Then you hear the one that came from God, the Holy Ghost. It's a literary work. I wish I could give you examples. So many. They say, I saw this, and it did like this, and that. Why would a human mind come up with that? Humanly, no. You would have to have down and thought for years to come up with that, those analogies. To even know how it will go and fit, and you just stood for a few seconds, and you got that, it came from God. That's one of the ways I test spirits, and know. Because it's brilliant. The Holy Spirit is brilliant. Brilliant pictures, brilliant stories, you know, illustrations. And he'll tell the same story to 10 different people, and all of them saw it different ways, and all of them make the same point. So many times, that's one of the ways you know it's the Spirit of God. Because of those slight differences. Alright, so your imagination, God will use it. That's why you hear people have prophetic words and say, I heard this song. I saw this scene from this movie. He takes those different things, weaves a picture. The raw material is what's in your mind too. So you can use your imagination. He actually wants to. But on your own, everybody here, practice imagining good things. We just showed you that. He said, think on these things. Something that has to do with just an idea. You're walking on the street. Start imagining. I imagine many things. You've heard me imagining a lot of times, haven't you? I know a lot of it is prophetic. I know a lot of it comes to be real things about the future and all that. But some of it is just my imagination. If you're with me, around me, you hear me imagine all the time. With time, I've discovered it's a prompt of spirit, but a lot of it is my mind. And I go like, can you imagine? You've heard me start like that many times. Can you imagine? And I'm imagining it. A car that can fly. A this that can that. A disappearing to another country to go and preach to people. Sometimes I start like that. The next thing I say is going to happen. Because God goes like, that's not your imagination, that's me. It will happen. That is prophetic sight. So be imagining. Everybody here, be imagining. Sit down. Why? If you don't imagine good things, the devil will put bad things. The human mind was made to imagine. So allow yourself to imagine. Allow the imagination carry you along. Purposely sit down and picture. Just don't imagine bad things. Don't imagine immoral things. Don't imagine, because those are the things that we used to struggle with normally. You have to replace them. Many people, because you don't sit down and imagine good things, those bad ones stay and torture you. Just change what you imagine by what affects your imagination. What you see, what you hear, what you experience. So what you watch, start watching good, wonderful, blessed, anointed, holy things. Watch, listen to amazing, good, read good stuff. Read. You used to read horror novels. Read Frank Peretti. Read Christian novels. Read C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. There are 7 in the series. Read that. All of that. I've been reading stuff like that since the 80s, 90s. It will wash your mind. It will replace. The pictures will be replaced. Replaced. Nature does not like a vacuum. So you say, I don't want to think this thing. I don't want to think this thing. But there's nothing else you're putting there to think. Do you understand this? You have to replace. Take out this one and put this one. And everything or imagination, use it for health. Imagine yourself healthy. Imagine yourself bold. Imagine yourself preaching. Imagine yourself loving people. Sit there and imagine yourself being kind. Imagine yourself walking in and telling people, hello, good morning, how are you? God bless you. My name is Kanimo. I'm sure you know Jesus loves you. Bye. Imagine it. Many times we don't do things because we have never imagined it. Imagine it. Picture yourself there, then go in and do it. Do it. Actually carry it out. Carry it out. Make sure you use your imagination a lot more than you've been using. Most Christians, we've abandoned our imagination. It doesn't even work. We got born again, we stopped using it. You know, those days, it's better now that Christians can even write. Those days, a time came, they said it wasn't right to Christians to write fiction. Every book they wrote was baka. Boo. It is C.S. Lewis, people like that that came and went like waiting. And wrote the thing. The guy was an Anglican. That was formerly an atheist. He wrote. He allowed his imagination go bonkers. Mixed it with pure theology. If you read C.S. Lewis, the older you are spiritually, the more you understand. It's fascinating. I'm like, how could this Anglican layman know these things? Far into the future. Ah! The guy understood eternal restoration. All. How could he? Amazing. Of course, he read a lot of things. God knows. He saw. He spoke of fake religion. Spoke of all of that. If you have read The Last Battle. Who has read The Last Battle? The last of the seven books in the series. Huh? Nobody. But didn't I read itself? And you people say you're bored. Who are all those people that always say I'm bored? If I ever catch you being bored, especially if you used to read novels ordinary. How? We have soft copies. It's everywhere. Why have you not read it? There are seven. Read it. Enjoy yourself. It's like traveling to a new world. Fascinating. He was a child of God. He converted from an atheist, became a Christian, wrote the most amazing stories. Aslan is Jesus in those stories. Now, even though he doesn't mention Jesus at all, I'm telling you, Aslan means lion in Turkish. Those guys that were like Talmarines are like the equivalent of Muslims that joined the religion and called it Taslan. You haven't heard of Chrislam? He wrote these books in the 50s when things like that did not exist. And they joined that thing and called it Aslan and the other God. And they combined it and they tricking people, collecting money, everything. He wrote in the 40s, 50s into early, I think the last one was written around 62 or so. He had insight that his imagination that he mixed in with all his vast knowledge of, he was a professor of medieval literature in Oxford or Cambridge, one or the other. So he was vast, super read, like, and he took it and used it for God after he got to know Jesus. He wrote serious books too. All right, so we are allowed to use our imagination and put down things here and there. God will give you things. Use it. Have I answered it now? The second question was, what about if you're having prophetic experiences before you got born again? We've answered these questions before. Many people that are going to walk in prophetic giftings start experiencing prophetic things before they get born again. Many people that are called to be preachers were preaching before they got born again. I can't go into it too much now, please. But I'll still say, this distinction we make between getting born again before and after is one of our religious. Almost every prophetic person I know was having prophetic experiences long before they got born again. Amaka was seeing angels before she got born again. At least once, twice. She'd be in the bathroom and scream as a small girl and run out. Didn't you hear her say it? They used to think she had problems. Now that's Amaka we know and others. Here and there, they've had a flash of experience. Those, some that have a serious prophetic calling. Some, not all, but some. Then you've heard of people like William Branham. Bobby Connor told the story about how he was a small boy. Wretched. And he passes a tree. And he hears a voice from a tree. And he says, don't climb the pony. And he's so scared. A small boy of whether 4 or 6. He runs away. He heard it whether 2 or 3 times. His mother was wretched. The father was dead. Died of syphilis in a mental home. Syphilis makes people go crazy. Some of the crazy people you see on the road is syphilis. Did you know that? Sister, is it so or not? Is it so or not? Did you know? I've told you before. Syphilis. An STD, a sexually transmitted disease. Untreated. Go crazy. Those days, before there was an antidote on treatment for it, you go mad. Shocked at what immorality has done in this earth. And people blame it on spirits. That's how his father died. He said so. Mother had him. She tried to abort him. It didn't work. Years later, when he grew up, how did he know? His mother didn't tell him. God told him. And God showed him how he put his hand. The mother was trying to use a hanger and commit an abortion. And the hand of God came and covered him. A hand of an angel or something was inside his mother's womb, covering. And the mother couldn't abort him. How did he know? God showed him. That's when he went and asked the mother, did you try to abort me? She said, yes. I tried and tried. Didn't work. How many of you think there's no sovereignty if God? When you meet sovereignty, you will agree. All these things people talk about and say is confusing. Nothing is confusing. It's not confusing. If you only have a few pieces straight of your understanding of God and scripture, everything is clear. Just clear. Okay, so He had don't climb the pony. His mother, they very church. She used to take bag that they put grain, wheat, and cut it and sew for them to wear, go to school. Has that one happened to any of you? How many of you have been thinking you're poor? You've been complaining, God, why are things so hard? You've been wearing fine clothes and saying things are hard. Bag without shoes and go to school. They will laugh at them. They're very wretched. The mother cried. One of their uncles said, hand these children over to the orphanage. They took them to the orphanage. His brother was lame in his legs, couldn't walk. He would be rolling him in a small wagon. As they got into this uncle's car, the mother was in it crying. They didn't know why. They didn't understand that the mother is taking them to hand over, give up for adoption. As they get there, a woman walks up. How are you? And they are there looking at the house and all that, thinking nice face. And the woman had a small pony, a small horse, and says, do you want to ride the pony? Are you there? Small boy, 4 or 6 years old, goes, he hears it again in his head. Don't climb the pony! Don't climb the pony! Push it back, his small brother. No! Does he understand? Is he born again? He got born again when he was a man. He was so bad that you see the preacher in his church and push him in the supermarket. That's how bad he was. Was a big, have you seen Bobby Connor? Big, tall, huge. Troublemaker like this, like original. None of you has been bad. He was very bad. Just wild. Wild little human being. That's how his mother now cried, no, my children. Like, we'll go and manage anyhow. We like, let's die from hunger. And that's how he grew up with his mother. You don't know where he would have been. You understand? Because the voice of the Lord, probably an angel, had told him, don't climb the pony. Long before, he didn't know why, till that day, suddenly understood. And later on, he found out that that's how they carry you into the orphanage. They like the pony. Every child wants to ride a pony. They pull it inside. You'll not come out. That was the lure. Okay, that pony, then you go and keep the child there, raise or give it to someone else to adopt. Are we clear? William Branham tells a similar story about hearing the voice of Lord, the wind moving in the trees. Bob Jones, that was so prophetic, talks about seeing the angel, I think Gabriel also, when he's 9 years old, walking through the cornfields. He's walking, he's 9 years old, he's a small boy. He sees a horse in the sky, his eyes are open. And he rides and blows a trumpet. He's so scared. He wasn't born again. Didn't know. He went on, joined the army. Used to drink. He was already having supernatural experiences so much as an unbeliever because he was called to a prophetic ministry. And what happened with him? He said he used to see demons, the demonic realm and all of that, especially a lot as an unbeliever. He used to see. He was used to it. That is why when that time he died in 1975 and came back from the dead, he heard the devil told him that when God told him about abortion, that in the future you take a tablet and commit an abortion. And the devil told him, don't preach that message. I'll leave your ministry alone. I'll not disturb you. And he went like, nothing will happen. Why? Because he was used to seeing demons. But he used to see them, especially when he was not born again. How can someone that is not born again, that is in the army, bad and everything, how can he be having visions and all that? How did he see the angel, Gabriel or Michael, whoever, when he was 9 years old? How did they have these things? Because your calling does not start playing a part in your life only when you get born again. So I'm getting a bit specific here. That's not when your calling starts activating. God owns you. He owned you before you were born. After you were born, he owns you. In your stupidity, he owns you. It's you that thinks you own yourself. Or maybe your parents think they own you. Not really. And when God has a plan, a purpose, a desire, specifics he wants to do, he will do it. He will not wait for you to come to your sense before he sends some of your curricular content That's why some people, they don't get born again early enough, but they go and they are musicians. Like these guys in Morningstar Music, Don Potter. They used to sing with Winona Judd and all sorts of popular, internationally acclaimed musicians before they got born again. If you've heard Morningstar Music, a lot of it, most of those guys were outstanding musicians. Even that girl, Susie, her name is Yarei now, but it used to be Susie Wills. When I knew her first, she wasn't married. When I was hearing her music, Susie Wills, you know, different ones of them, even, what's that guys? You know, if you hear Morningstar Music, Don Potter sings any of those lovely songs. They were unbelievers, but they came to know the Lord. They continue and they have a call to manage music. It's not everyone that was doing something that has a call, but some. So God used that as their training too. Even in their darkness, He uses it as their training. Because God is the owner of the earth. The Bible does not say the earth is the Lord and some of what is inside. What does it say? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, everything in it. I've told you Satan works for God. It's not a suggestion. What you think is, the Bible tells it, look at everywhere Satan shows up. See God's interaction with Satan. Satan, where are you coming from? Give report, oh yeah? Up and down, to and fro. That's how he asked the angel in Zechariah too. Where are you coming from? They say from going up and down, to and fro. It's in your Bible, I've shown you. It's not only Satan that goes to and fro. A woman of God, as a preacher, woman asked me one time, how are you? Where have you been? I said, up and down town. For she said, don't say that. I'm like, this woman, you don't know about it. You know, Christians, anything Satan is there, you want to talk about only Satan. Angels go up and down and to and fro, please. Don't stop, take the whole Bible and give it to Satan. What is your problem? God asked him, where are you coming from, Satan? To and fro, up and down. And God is like, I get job for you. You see Job? How far? Wait, is he? It's like, if that guy that is cursing be your boy, if you command your protection, he don't deny you, fool. Okay, now touch him. No touch him. If he touch anything, we ain't get. Like, anything. The God just sent Satan a job. You know, it was promotion time for Job, and there has to be exams before promotion, so. That's how Satan left. Phew! He planned, he told you, you handle the children, you handle the factory, tractors, you handle the pickups, you handle the meat, you. Now you do it. Give it a stagger, it's 10 minutes gap. And make sure all the servants arrive. You can put stones, let them be falling. Save one person from each. And make sure they arrive immediately, one finishes talking. I don't know if God has ever permitted such a free hand on anybody's life before. Have you considered that God permitted all of that? The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear Him. They all got an instant call on Job's detail. Withdraw. You don't know what happened. This is in your Bible. I'm just putting flesh on it. Doesn't the Bible say He had a hedge around Him? The Bible tells you it's the angels that are hedges. They were with His businesses. The sheep, they were there around the oxen with the workers. They were there. There were angels assigned all over Job according to the word of Lord that He takes care of those who fear Him. Truly, that's normal. His children were covered all the time. Angels, all over the place. They got Job detail. Signing, everyone, you're recalled instantly. Some of them must have gone, hello? Sorry, who is this? Are you saying? I said, everybody, return back to base now. And all the angels go, bing, all gone instantly. It was at once. I repeat, I don't think that has ever happened to anyone. I hope it has not happened to anyone after that. It was a horrible thing. Normally, in real life, the enemy applies and gets a petition against an area of your life, against a family, a little here, a little. To have carte blanche, that is full access. Except on Job. Job's angel was still there. And they hit at once. Lightning was falling from the sky and frying things. So they went like, what do we do with this one? Let's use lightning method. Oh yeah, all of you demons, hit the four sides of the wall at once. The Bible says they went, Bam! The four walls. He killed all the children, 10. Bam! Marauders, people, and just went, had an idea. Let's go those guys, y'all. Normally, they would have thought and had bad ideas. Let's attack those guys and steal their animals. But they'll be like, we don't even understand what happens. Okay, I'm not even going now. I know, go. Go by yourself. You don't see those men? Leave. Leave that guy, you know, they shit too much. They would stay back. They had a boldness. Demons rushed into them. They didn't just kill the animals. They killed everybody. And they always saved one. Remember, the devil had given, make sure one person is remaining to report. That's why all of them said, I, even only I, remain to report it. Perfectly executed attack. I'm not sure it has ever worked so well. That's why it was done and put out for us all. Lord God, may not happen again. No. I'm telling you. But it's put there for us. Remember, these things happen to them as examples. You upon whom the end of the age has come. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's in the Bible. That happened to you, example, verse 11. Now, these things happen to them as examples, and they're written as a warning to us on whom the ends of the age have come. Alright, so, this is why it happened. For you. They were giving examples for you. So you're to learn from them. And Romans 15:4 now says, what is it supposed to do for you? For whatever was written, let's read together, one to go. For whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. What did he say? Through our endurance and through the encouragement of scripture. This is for your instruction. You're supposed to be encouraged when you get what happened to Job. That's why it's repeated in James chapter 5. Says, brethren, remember the patience of Job. It tells you, he uses Job as the illustration. In case you're wondering, I mean, of all the examples, why is it Job that is the illustration? Because Job's own was so extreme that, I don't know, was just bad. Just very bad. So when things are withdrawn, like it was withdrawn, for Job. But when the time came, after that, they permitted, even his own angel, he said, they are going to touch his body. Had to withdraw that protection. His body was touched. They couldn't touch his life. Couldn't die completely. And he was in terrible pain. When that came to an end, instantly, everything was restored. The same way God sent his angels and went and touched his friends and relatives. People brought him money. Things came. And he had double. The same way they breathed on it, they restored, and things came back. And he had more than he had at the beginning. You find James 5? James 5, verse 11. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. This is how it ends. So it's not how something starts. It's not the beginning, it's the end. Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. So be contented with where it's going. So I was just saying, in answer to a question, that how can someone have prophetic giftings at work before they are born again, seeing things and they come to pass? It is God that shows people things or allows them. We've said many times about divination. If you look at a family and they have, in our language, they say, idiom. They seem to know things. They pick things. How are people say? They say the person has eye. Yes? He has eye. In their family, they have eye. Usually, about 2016, I was teaching on this. Didn't want tarry. I called it a generational blessing. You know, people are always talking about a generational curse. Generational curses. They are generational blessings. They are things that flow through families. There are families where there are people with teaching gifts. There are families where there are people with prophetic gifts. There are things that run through families. Kenneth Hagin was preaching before he got born again. When he was a small boy, before he fell sick for years. He said as a small boy, as early as he can remember, 4 or 5 years. When people are saying, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. He used to say, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. Why? Where did that come from, little boy? Some people get to sense or walk in things later. Some people from very early, it starts showing its head. It starts showing before they could possibly know. So what I mean by generational blessing is, of course, his son is a preacher too. It's not everyone that is preaching because their father was preaching. They're called to do the same thing too. Sometimes, or many times. By generational blessing, you see a family doing divination. It is likely that family is prophetic in gifting, but they've been on the dark path. They've been in darkness. They don't know God. They are not born again. But it's there. Now take that, put that person in different situations, in a church, put them in anything. The thing that comes with that line is in them. It's like they have permission. It's like someone being a grandchild in a certain compound and can go and visit there and pluck fruit from the tree in that compound. Do you get? Can go to that compound and play with the swings. Huh? There are swings in that compound. It's your grandfather's compound. You can go and sit on the swings. Have you heard that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children? Do you know spiritual giftings are inheritances too? Oh, yes. That's why a spiritual father can pass on things. You can see certain characteristics of people, of someone passing down to the people that that person fathered or disciple. But in the same way, physically, sometimes you hear about people that their grandfather was like this, but the father or great-grandfather, then the grandfather came and didn't show it. And the father came and may have ignored it. Some of them, you hear the stories and you hear them tell stories how some things used to show in their life, but it stopped. How many of you have heard stories like that? Huh? How many of you have heard stories about people that say, when I was young, I used to have this kind of things. But they don't have it anymore because they didn't pay the price. They didn't follow it up. They didn't fan it. They didn't feed it. If they had walked with the Lord properly, so they buried it, covered it with sand, and they will give an account to God. They're going to be called a wicked and lazy servant someday. You can bury it in a church you go and be attending. You can bury it in money making. That's why the devil especially will bring money. That's a major distraction. You can bury it in education, in dreams. Dreams that didn't come from God. Bury it in all sorts of things. Some people, when God goes and tells them, come and focus and do this thing, they agree. Some, many, majority, don't agree. They've been shaped. Their mind has been rewired by the ways of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. And that has made them bury